Blog Talk Radio.
Deal with on this morning is the spiritual aspect
different people that were in her womb. So I'm going to talk about the different aspects of this prophecy that Rachel had, or Rebecca had, and then we're going to look at the spiritual component of it. Because, see, people are always talking about, who is Esau? Who is Esau? These people are Esau. It really doesn't matter who Esau is. What matters is, are you Esau or are you not? That's what matters. Because the truth of the matter is, what determines truthfully who Esau is if you despise your birthright. The birthright, then you don't get any other promise of the other promises. Okay, of what this birthright is talking about and what was foretold in this prophecy. So that's what the lesson is on this morning. And, you know, I pray that you listen to it and take heed to it, because it really does, you know, there's a lot of controversy out here, especially among our own people. Are you Edomite? Or these people are the Edomites? And, you know, they hate Esau. And they try to point to a particular people of being Esau. But, you know, I'm going to ask you to consider some things and look and see what you may see. All right? We want to welcome everybody in Pal Talk and Blog Talk. Those are on the Internet in general. No matter where you're at, in North America or South America, the African continent, the Middle East, the Far East, the European theater, the communist bloc country, wherever you may be listening at, we greet you in the only name whereby men must be saved, the name of Yeshua HaMashiach, or Jesus the Christ. I'm going to ask the ladies to cover their heads, men, uncover your heads, as we do our statement of faith. I believe that all scripture is given by the inspiration of Elohim and is profitable for doctrine and for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, according to 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16. I believe all holy men must be inspired and directed by the Spirit of Yah, according to 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 20 through 21. I believe there is one Elohim according to Deuteronomy chapter 6, 4. I believe that Yeshua is the manifest Son of Yah, according to Luke chapter 1, verse 35. I believe I'm a new covenant child of Yah, according to Hebrews chapter 8 and verse 10. I believe I'm a child of Yah. I believe I'm of the royal priesthood, according to 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 9. I believe I am chosen and directed by Yah, according to Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 4. I believe I'm a child of Yah and of the seed of Abraham, according to Galatians chapter 3, verse 26 through 29. I can do all things through Mashiach, which strengthens me, according to Philippians chapter 4 and verse 13. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. It is my whole duty to fear Yah and keep His commandments, according to Ecclesiastes chapter 12 and verse 13. Let us give our Elohim a hand clap of praise on this morning. Hallelujah, Father. We just give you glory, honor, and praise on this morning, and we magnify your name, O Yah. We give you glory, 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 glory. Hallelujah. And we honor you, Father, on today, as we obey your commandment to keep your Sabbath and to honor you in it. So thank you, Yah. Thank you. Thank you, Father. Thank you for having us in our right mind, that we would have a mind to obey you and to obey you and you alone. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Yah Elohim. Thank you for everything that you have done and everything you're going to do. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Thank you for waking us up this morning and yet allowing us another day to worship and praise your holy name. Hallelujah. Holy hands raised to the Most High Elohim. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who have trespassed against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory, now and forever. Amen and amen. Let us go to the book of 1 Kings, chapter 8. The book of 1 Kings, chapter 8, and I will personalize this in our reading. Starting in verse 46. 1 Kings, chapter 8, starting in verse 46. If we sin against thee, for there is no man that sinneth not. And thou be angry with us, and deliver us to the enemy, so that they carry us away captive unto the land of the enemy, far or near. Yet if we shall bethink ourselves in the land whither we were carried captive, and repent and make supplication unto thee in the land of them that carried us captive, saying, we have sinned and have done perversely, we have committed wickedness to thee with all our hearts and with all our soul in the land of our enemies, which led us away captive, and pray unto thee toward our land, which thou gavest unto our fathers, the city which thou hast chosen, and the house which Solomon has built for thy name. Then hear thou our prayer and our supplication in heaven thy dwelling place, and maintain our cause. And forgive us thy people that have sinned against thee and all our transgressions wherein we have transgressed against thee. And give us compassion before them who carried us captive, that they may have compassion on us. For we be thy people and thine inheritance, which thou broughtest forth out of Egypt from the midst of the furnace of iron, that thine eyes may be open unto the supplication of thy servant and unto the supplication of thy people Israel, to hearken unto us in all that we call for unto thee. For thou didst separate us from among all the people of the earth to be thine inheritance, as thou spakest by the hand of Moses thy servant, when thou broughtest our fathers out of Egypt, O Yah, Elohim. For the Most High a blessing to the reading, the hearing, the understanding, and the doing of his word. In Yeshua HaMashiach's precious name I pray. Amen and amen.
Amen.
The sounding of the shofar.
Over and over.
and the elder shall serve the younger. Now, typically, in those times, the younger served the elder. The elder child, when they were born, received a greater blessing, received the blessing of the birthright, which was double what any other child was going to get. These are twins, and technically speaking, one of them's got to come out first. But they're being born at the same time. But the one who comes out first is going to be considered the elder. Now, I find it ironic that Jacob is holding on to Esau's foot when he comes out. Now, we're being born at the same time. All of you just came out and part of me at the time. Okay. And when her days be delivered and were fulfilled, behold, there were twins in her womb. And the first came out red, all over like a hairy garment. And they called him his name Esau. And after that came his brother out, and his hand took hold of Esau's heel. Hold on. He also wants to have a claim to the birthright. And his name was called Jacob. And Isaac was 80 years old when she bare them. So 80 is 20 years. Isaac is 60 years old when she bears them. And the boys grew, and Esau was a cunning hunter, a man of the field, outside man, like to, you know, work with his hands, like to hunt. And Jacob was a plain man, dwelling in tents. Jacob was like the inside boy, like to, you know, be in the house all the time. And Isaac loved Esau because he did eat of his venison. But Rebekah loved Jacob. So we got twins, and the mother and father are split on the twins. The father loves the son that is active and outside hunting and bringing him stuff to eat, his venison. And Rebekah likes Jacob. He is the one that wants to stay in the house around her all the time. And Jacob thought potted. So he's cooking potted. He likes to cook. Esau likes to hunt. And Esau came from the field, and he was faint, tired, weak. And Esau said to Jacob, feed me, I pray thee, with some of your red pottage, for I am faint. Therefore was his name called Edom. I wonder if that was in the English, Edom. They don't work. Never mind. And Jacob said, sell me this day thy birthright. Now, Jacob, he knows that Esau is supposed to receive the birthright. And Jacob, you know, Esau, he's coming in from hunting, and Jacob's been cooking. And Esau, you know, he's going to swear he's about to die from not eating. And Jacob wants his birthright. And I really believe that Esau thought he was playing and didn't take it seriously. And that's the whole problem in this. He didn't take it seriously. Okay? Sell me this day thy birthright. And Esau said, behold, I am at the point to die. He know he ain't about the point to die. And what profit, what good shall this birthright do me? He's not taking it seriously. Verse 33, and Jacob said, swear to me this day, and he swore unto him, and he sold his birthright unto Jacob. So he sold his birthright unto Jacob for a bowl of pottage, a bowl of lentils. And we want to look at this from that standpoint that we may not take our birthright, our spiritual birthright, seriously. And in not taking it seriously, we despise it. We don't treat it with respect. We don't honor it. We don't do the things that we are required to do according to our birthright so that we can receive the greater blessing. So as we walk through this and we develop this, I want you to keep that in your mind, okay? That maybe we might have the spirit of Esau. Maybe we are not taking our spiritual birthright seriously enough. We actually are saying to the Most High, it don't mean anything to us. And that we despise it. Verse 34, then Jacob gave bread and pottage of lentils, and he did eat and drink and rose up and went his way. Thus Esau despised his birthright. It didn't mean, you know, that birthright. We're going to look and see what that birthright actually meant and what he gave up and what he despised, what he didn't take seriously until it was too late. Okay? Let's go to 1 John chapter 3. This is a 3. Now let's get verse 2. Beloved, now, now are we the sons of Elohim. Now, when you are born by the Spirit of the Most High, when you are filled by His Spirit, because Messiah said you must be born of the water and of the Spirit. Not either or. Had to be both. Now are we the sons of Elohim. But it does not yet appear what we shall be. For we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him. For we shall see him as he is. But once we are born again of the water and of the Spirit, we become the children of the Most High. And a birthright comes with that, being his children. There's a birthright associated with that. Now we're going to go back to Genesis chapter 25, and we're going to look at what Esau gave up because he did not take his birthright seriously. So in 5:23, when the scripture tells Rebekah that there's two nations in her belly, okay, and when she realized she has these twins, and the prophecy says, you know, one will be stronger than the other, but the elder shall serve the younger. The elder was stronger than the younger. If Esau's out there running in the field and hunting animals and doing this kind of stuff, he's more physical than Jacob. Even though they're twins, he was rugged. Jacob more so stayed around the house. And so, but he's saying the stronger, one shall be stronger than the other, and the elder shall serve the younger. And Esau ended up serving Jacob as a people. Okay. So these scriptures, this prophecy, foretold of Rebekah's twins, Esau and Jacob, and it's a complex prophecy. And it's going to deal with a lot of things, dealing with the birth of two nations, because there's going to be two different people that will come from Esau and Jacob. The Edomites from Esau and the Israelites from Jacob. Now, had Esau not despised his birthright, then probably would have been reversed. The Edomites, or there probably wouldn't even have been anything, or rather than being called the Israelites, we'd probably been called the Edomites. And the Israelites would be the wicked ones. But that's not what the Most High wanted. And it's not what his desire. So the Most High made this happen, okay, the way that he wanted it to come out. Two different people. The division of the prophesied dynamic between these nations played a significant role. in what history. And a religious narrative. He is dealing both with the natural world and the spiritual world. And two different types of people. One set of people want the kingdom of the Most High more than they want anything else. And one people want this world more than they want anything else. They could care less, more or less, about the kingdom of the Most High. They are rooted in this world. And so that's the two dynamics. One wants the kingdom bad enough that they would do whatever it took to get it. And the other one could care less, really, about it. As long as they're satisfying their flesh, then they're good. Now, the Most High is saying, I already know what these two individuals are going to do that I put into your womb. I already know, and I'm in control of it. The Most High says, before they were born. Let's go get this verse. It's in Romans. Let me go to Romans 3 real quick. I'm calling this from memory. Romans 3. Romans 9. Go to the book of Romans, chapter 9. And let's actually start in verse 1. Because in order to understand this, you got to really understand what Romans chapter 9 is talking about. And the sovereignty of the Most High. Okay. Romans chapter 9, starting in verse 1. I say truth in Mashiach. I lie not. My conscience also bear me witness in the Holy Spirit or in the Holy Ghost that I have great heaviness and continual sorrow in my heart. For I could wish that myself were accursed from Christ, from Mashiach, for my brethren, my kinsmen according to the flesh. Saying, hey, I'm heavy in my heart, and the Holy Spirit is a witness of this, that I wish I could be accursed from Christ, from Mashiach. Why? Because of my brethren, for my brethren's sake. Those according to the flesh, not my spiritual brothers. Those that are of my own blood and flesh, my kinsmen, who are Israelites, to whom pertaineth the adoption and the glory and the covenant and the giving of the law in the service of Elohim and the promises, who are the fathers and of whom as concerning the flesh, Mashiach came. Who is forever all, who is over all, Elohim blessed forever. Amen. Not as though the word of Elohim has taken none effect, for they are not all Israel which are of Israel. See, just because you are born a Hebrew Israelite don't make you of Israel. You're just, if you don't belong to Israel, you're a Hebrew, but you're not a Hebrew Israelite. And we got to understand this, because Hebrew Israelite means that you're a member of the nation of Israel. It really means that you are a member of the body of Mashiach. Okay? And so if you're not a member of that body, you can be a Hebrew. You can be a Gentile. Don't necessarily make you an Israelite. And you can be a Hebrew or a Gentile and be an Israelite. It's a spiritual thing. So he said, I'm not talking about those people who are Israel, that are Israel coming into the body, being adopted as sons. I'm talking about those who are Israel, the nation of my bloodline. But he said, not everybody who's born in that bloodline is Israel. By the blood, don't make them Israel, of Israel. Neither, because they are the seed of Abraham, are they all children. But in Isaac shall thy seed be called. So this is the promised bloodline. That is, they which are the children of the flesh, these are not the children of Elohim. Elohim don't care. I made a promise to these people, but they got to obey. They got to fulfill what I said for them to do. They got to be obedient. So just be, and if they're not, they're not my children. We got to understand that. They despise their birthright through disobedience. These are not my children. But the children of the promise are counted in the seed. This seed is the seed of Messiah. This seed is by faith, the same faith Abraham had, that he simply believed Elohim and obeyed him. That faith, out of faith. For this is the word of promise. At this time will I come, and Sarah shall have a son. And not only this, but when Rebekah also had conceived by one, even by our father Isaac. For the children being not yet born, before they are born, they weren't even born yet. They were conceived, but not yet born, neither having done any good or evil. That's the purpose of Elohim. This is what this is all about, what he wants, what he purposes, that he wants to happen in the earth. That the purpose of Elohim, according to the election, might stand. Not of works, but of him that called. That under her, the elder shall serve the younger. As it is written, Jacob have I loved, but Esau have I hated. This was while they were in the womb. What shall we say then? Is there unrighteousness with Elohim? The people go, that ain't fair. That ain't right. They ain't even came out and done nothing yet. And Elohim already hates one and loves the other. I put those two children in her womb for my purpose, to fulfill my will, to do what I want to have accomplished, to give you a choice, life or death. Are you going to choose to be Jacob, or are you going to choose to be Esau? Are you going to love your birthright, or are you going to despise it? Stop there for this part. Jacob have I loved, Esau have I hated, before they had done any good or evil. Understand this. So he put these two children in Rebekah's womb, knowing that one is going to want the birthright more than the other. And the one that wants the birthright by birth is not his. And the one that has the birthright don't want it. A conflict. So that we can see what type of person we have to be. Do you love the Most High that you would do whatever it took to be his, to get the birthright? And when you got it, would you appreciate it? Would you do everything it took that you could to keep it? honor it. So the Most High says, I already know what these two are going to do. I put it within them to fulfill my purpose. Okay? So we see that we got a conflict here from the beginning. And from the beginning, the Most High loves one and he hates the other. He knows what he put in one and he knows what he put in the other. Okay? So I've already talked about it was the birthright of the elder to have received the birthright. But the Most High says, no, I've determined that the younger one's going to receive the birthright. I know what I put in them. Talk about this spiritual interpretation of this. The passage is often seen as more than a historical narrative. That passage about the younger serving the elder, the elder serving the younger, and about Esau despising his birthright. Esau represents the fleshly man, the carnal man, caring about the things of this world, wanting to be popular, wealthy, famous, wants the approval of men. That's Esau, the fleshly man, the natural man. Jacob represents the spiritual man. And eventually the spirit prevails over the what? Flesh. And that's what's going to happen in the end. But we got to understand that we got to figure out where we're at in this. So let's continue. Go to Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12. Get verse 14. Follow peace with all men. I'm going to get verses 14 through 16. And holiness, without which no man shall see God. Follow peace with all men. And holiness, without which no man shall see God. Looking diligently, any man fail of the grace of Elohim. I told you, people take advantage of the grace of Elohim, and his grace is not what they're making it. His grace is simply that I used to not forgive willful sin. I'm going to extend grace to you one time, and I'm going to forgive your willful sin. That's his grace. So if we fail that, and we continually willfully sin, knowing we're doing wrong and we continue to do it, we fail the grace of Elohim. Leave any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. Leave there be any fornicator. This nation, this world is full of fornicators. Just love to have sex outside of marriage. Sleeping with whatever they want to sleep with. Whomever they want to sleep with, or a profane person. So, he was profane because for one morsel of meat, he sold his birthright. Sold it. That profane person. Don't care about your birthright. Don't failing the grace of Elohim. Because they think grace is continual. We are in the period of grace. That means as long as we're in the period of grace, in their understanding, they can just willfully sin and God will forgive them. Elohim will forgive them. It's a lie. It's a lie from the pits of hell. And they have deceived many. with that lie. Because it doesn't work that way. So follow peace with all men and holiness, so that you can see the Most High. And don't despise your birthright. Because as a child of the Most High, you have a responsibility. So we're going to look at what was his birthright. What was Esau's birthright? The country that was supposed to come up under from Jacob. What were they? The role of the priest in the family. The head of the household. Any legal authority held by his father, he was to inherit. Which way the family's going to go? And who would become the head of the 12 tribes of Israel? This is what he's giving up. And Messiah would also come through his lineage. This is what the promises are. That's what was included in this birthright. These were the promises that came from Abraham to Abraham from the Most High, through Isaac from the Most High, that would be passed on to Jacob or Esau. Esau being the firstborn, the promises were to go to him, and he was to do all these things. But he despised it. And the Most High knew he would despise it. He knew it in the womb, what he was going to do. He prophesied about it before he even put them in there. Go to Genesis chapter 26. I'll start reading in verse 1. And there was a famine in the land, besides the first famine. That was in the days of Abraham. And Isaac went unto Abimelech, king of the Philistines, unto Gerar. And Yah appeared unto him and said, go not down to eat into Egypt. Dwell in the land which I shall tell thee of. Sojourn in this land, stay in this land, and I will be with thee and bless thee. For unto thee and unto thy seed I will give all these countries where you're at. I'm going to give them all to you. And I will perform the oath which I swear unto Abraham thy father. And I will make thy seed to multiply as the stars of heaven. And will give unto thy seed all these countries. And in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed. Because that Abraham obeyed my voice and kept my charge and my commandment and my statutes and my law. Abraham kept those things so that his seed could inherit the promise that the Most High made to him. Isaac would have to be doing the same thing. He would have to obey the voice of the Most. He would have to keep the charge of the Most High. He would have to obey the commandments of the Most High and his statutes and his laws. In order for the promise to pass to his elders. Couldn't just be out there in the world doing whatever he wanted to do. Abraham couldn't just be out in the world doing whatever he wanted to do. So I'm going to give you all these nations if you do this. Obey my voice. Keep my charge. Whatever I tell you to do. If I tell you to stay here, stay. If I tell you to go, go. Keep my commandments on how to live your life, to do and not to do. Enforce my statutes and my law. Now, when we are, quote unquote, born again, we're supposed to do the exact same thing. Obey the voice of Yah. Do what he tells us to do. Keep his commandments. Keep his statutes and his laws. And he gave us his spirit to do his judgment. Five. This word despise means contempt, disdain, abhor, not to value. What is your birthright in Hamashiach? Beloved, now are we the sons of Elohim. When we become sons of Elohim, we also get a birthright with that, a promise. And it's a priestly birthright, first of all. Go to Exodus chapter 19. Exodus chapter 19. Starting in verse 3. And Moses went up unto Elohim, and Yah called unto him out of the mountain, saying, Thus shalt thou say to the house of Jacob, and tell the children of Israel, You have seen what I did. You have seen what I did unto the Egyptians, and how I bare you on eagle's wings and brought you unto myself. Now, therefore, if you will obey my voice, like I told Abraham, if you will obey my voice indeed and keep my covenant, my charge, then you shall be a peculiar treasure unto me above all people, for all the earth is mine. And you shall be unto me a kingdom of priests, a holy nation or a holy people. First part of the birthright, a kingdom of priests, a priestly birthright. These are the words which thou shalt speak unto the children of Israel. And Moses came and called for the elders of the people and laid before their faces all these words which Yah commanded him. Tell the people they need to obey the voice of Yah. Tell them they need to keep his covenant. And this is what will happen to them. So he gives them his commandments. He gives them his statutes. He gives them his ordinances. He gives them his judgment. So they could obey his voice. And all the people answered together and said, All that Yah has spoken, we will do. And Moses returned the words of the people unto Yah. All that you have said, Yah, they agreed to it. They agreed to do it as a people. Okay? And that's what we have to be agreeing to. All that Yah has said, we will do. In order to inherit the birthright. In order to not despise the birthright. First Peter chapter 2. First Peter chapter 2, starting in verse 1. Wherefore, laying aside all malice and all guile and hypocrisy and envy and all evil speaking, as newborn babes desiring the sincere milk of the word, that you may grow thereby. You know what I find strange and what I find common amongst men, amongst Israel, is that they want the meat of the word, never having drank any milk. They want to start chewing on meat and don't have no teeth. And then wonder why they have a problem walking with the Most High. So we got things out of order. We got a desire as a newborn babe to send their milk of the word first, the foundation. That you may grow thereby. If so be you have tasted that Yah is gracious, to whom coming as unto a living stone, disallowed indeed of men, but chosen of Elohim and precious. You also, as lively stones, as living stones, are built up a spiritual house, stacked one upon another. You take bricks and you build a house. In those days, you took stones and you would build a house, one upon another. A holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to Elohim by Yeshua HaMashiach. Wherefore also it is contained in the scripture, behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect and precious. He that believeth on him shall not be confounded, shall not be confused. If you really are believing on Messiah and you are trying to become like Messiah, you're not going to be confused. But if you're not trying to become like him, if you're not trying to be sinless, if you're not trying to live holy, then you're going to be confused. You're going to be double-minded. Unto you, therefore, which believe, he is precious. But unto them which be disobedient, the stone which the builders disallowed, the same is made the head of the corner. Everything based upon Messiah, if it's truly based upon him, will line up correctly. Everything that is not based upon him, that is disobedient, makes you go crooked. And a stone of stumbling, people will stumble at his word. People will make excuses. Oh, I'm only human. God knows my heart. A rock of offense. Because we're not really trying to be like him. Even to them which stumble at the word. Which stumble at the word. Can't get this word right to save their life. Misinterpreting it. Changing it to be what they want it to be. To justify themselves. They stumble at the word being disobedient. Because that's what it all comes down to. Well, I think this. The Most High never asked any of us what we think. Not once. Just do what I say do. Obey my voice. And be obedient. But when people stumble at the word and don't want to do what it says do because, well, you know, I kind of like doing that. And, I'm kind of guilty of that. And I really don't want to stop. Disobedience comes. So they were appointed. You know how the Most High said, Jacob have I loved and Esau that have I hated. And I put this in them. Esau was appointed to do what he did. And Jacob was appointed to do what he did. And maybe we are being appointed to be disobedient. And it's not a good thing. But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people. Peculiar means that, hey, you ain't acting like everybody else. You ain't acting like the world. And you value your birthright just like the world values the ways of the world. You value your birthright in Messiah, in the Most High. You're going to do whatever it takes. And he looked at you as being so precious that he would put you in a vault like the most valuable jewels that he has and then put angels around you to protect you should somebody even try to break in the vault. That's what that word peculiar means. You are so precious that you are you're invaluable. But you got to know that. And you got to honor that. Because not to do it is to despise it. To despise your birthright. Show forth the praises of him who has called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, which in time past were not a people, but are now the people of Elohim, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. See, there are some people that have not obtained mercy. Why? Because they don't love Elohim. We don't believe what the scriptures say. That he has mercy on them that love him and keep his commandments. Showing mercy unto thousands of them that love him and keep his commandments. And people want to be disobedient and be in opposition to the Most High and despise their birthright and want mercy. But don't show the love of the Most High. Don't show love toward him. Being in his priesthood and despising his priesthood and not living holy. Not living righteously. Trying to worship the Most High with our lips, but not really our heart. Not doing what he says to do, not obeying his voice. But then we want him to be merciful to us. He's an all-loving Elohim. He got to show me mercy. No, he don't. We got something to do in this as well. And I really pray that we weren't chosen to be disobedient. For the purpose of Elohim, you know what? I need to take out my anger on some stuff. Surely we don't want to be the vessels of dishonor. Created for that purpose. That's why we have to always examine ourselves. Are we despising our birthright? Do we have the spirit of Esau? And we despise it. Sold it for a bowl of beans. Sold it for a bin. Sold it for a condo or a mansion or a house. Or somebody's private part. Some drugs. For whatever reason. We thought something else was more valuable than our birth through Messiah. We thought something was more valuable than being a child of the Most High. Along with this birthright comes a royal inheritance. Remember, I'll make you a nation of kings and priests. Go to Revelation chapter 1. We'll start in verse 1. The revelation of Yeshua HaMashiach, which Elohim gave unto him to show unto his servants things which must shortly come to pass. And he sent and signified by his angel unto his servant John, who bear record of the word of Elohim and of the testimony of Yeshua HaMashiach of all things that he saw. Blessed is he that reads and they that hear the words of this prophecy and keep those things which are written therein, for the time is at hand. John, to the seven churches which are in Asia, grace be unto you, and peace from him which is, and which was, and which is to come, and from the seven spirits which are before his throne, the throne of him of who which is and which was and which is to come, the seven spirits of before his throne. And from Yeshua HaMashiach, who is faithful, the faithful witness, and the first begotten from the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth, unto him that loved us and washed us from all our sins in his own blood, and has made us kings and priests unto Elohim and his Father. To him be glory, dominion, forever and ever. Amen. Kings and priests to be. That's what we're supposed to be in the king in right now and in the kingdom to come. If we obey his voice, if we don't despise our birthright, behold, he cometh with the clouds, and every eye shall see him, and they also which pierced him, and all kindreds of the earth shall wail because of him. Even so, amen, hath made us kings and priests of unto Elohim. So that's another aspect of your birthright. I'm going to give you all this land, these countries. This is going to be your nation. You're going to come sojourn there with me. And I'm going to make you kings and priests of the world. Because I'm going to divide the world when I come. And some of y'all, I'm going to put over 5 cities. And some of y'all, I'm going to put over 10 cities. Some of y'all over 50. Some of y'all over 100. But you are a king and a priest. You're a priest king. That's what the Most High is. He's a priest king. After the order of Melchizedek, the king of Salem and the priest of Salem. The priest of the Most High was the king of Salem, the king of Jerusalem. He was a priest king. And that's what we're supposed to be, kings and priests. Priest king, starting in verse 1. Revelation chapter 5, starting in verse 1. And I saw in the right hand of him that sat on the throne a book written within and on the backside sealed with 7 seals. And I saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice, who is worthy to open the book and to loose the seals thereof? And no man in heaven, nor in earth, neither under the earth was able to open the book, neither to look thereon. And I wept much, because no man was found worthy to open, to read the book, neither to look thereon. And one of the elders saith unto me, weep not. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, has prevailed to open the book, to loose the 7 seals thereof. And I beheld, and lo, in the midst of the throne and of the 4 beasts, I want to say these 4 beasts are they're actually people, groups of people, okay, nations. And in the midst of the elders stood a lamb as it had been slain, having 7 horns and 7 eyes. When did Messiah ever have 7 horns and 7 eyes? This is a vision, which are the 7 spirits of Elohim, sent forth into all the earth, the 7 spirits that are around his throne, and that these 7 spirits belong to him, and they do his bidding. And he came and took the book out of the right hand of him that sat upon the throne. And when he had taken the book, the 4 beasts, 20 elders, fell down before the Lamb, having every one of them 7 hearts and golden vials full of odors, which are the prayers of the saints. And they sung a new song, saying, thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof. For thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to Elohim by the blood out of every kindred and tongue. These are these 4 beasts, every kindred and tongue and people and nation. And has made us unto our Elohim kings and priests. And we shall reign on the earth. Because all these people didn't despise their birthright. Esau despised his and lost it. If you despise yours, you will lose it. Out of every nation, kindred, tongue, and people. That's why Israel can't say, this is only Israel. This is only a Hebrew Israelite. It is contrary to the word of the Most High, and the Most High is redefining Israel. In every nation, those that fear him and work righteousness will become Israel. And we got to just believe that and go with the flow. Do what it takes for us to receive and keep our birthright and not to despise it. Not to throw all that away for something in this world, for somebody in this world. That's why he says, if you love mother to brother, husband, wife, children, even your own self more than you love me, you cannot follow me. But you despise your birthright. You despise the gift. Hebrews chapter 1. At verse 6. Hebrews chapter 1 and verse 6. And again, when he bringeth in the first begotten into the world, he said, and let all the angels of Elohim worship him. He told us that angels, we would have judgment over the angels. And in the end, the angels will bow to us like they bow to him. They're not going to worship us, but they're going to worship him, but they will bow to us because of who and what we are. I'm a king, and I'm a priest. You bow before kings. Colossians chapter 1. And verse 18. And he is the head of the body. He, Messiah, is the head of the body, the church. And remember the body, he said, he's taking of the Gentiles and of the Jews. Making one new man. From the two, making one new man. All those who obey him, obey his voice and keep his commandments, keep his statutes, keep his laws, his commandments, his ordinances that are born of him and receive his spirit, receive the spirit of the Most High. That's his body. We call it the church. We think that going to church makes us part of the body. We think that quoting scripture makes us part of the body. No, what makes you part of the body is that you are accepted by him and you are born again. And you obey his voice. Who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence. He might be first in all things. I'm the firstborn from the dead. I'm eternal. I created all things, but I'm doing a new work, a new creation. And I'm making me a new body that I might dwell in it. That's why he tells us, beloved, know ye not that you are the temple, the dwelling place of the Most High, the Holy Spirit? The Most High made this body and this design when he first made Adam. I don't desire to reside in spiritual form in this world. I've designed you that I would shall inhabit your body. I would dwell in you. And I would experience this world through you. But I'm not going to live in an unclean house. That's why he says, those who defile the temple of Elohim, which temple you are, shall he destroy. Part of your birthright. Do you despise it? Are you going around doing things that are out of order? Are you going around having relationships that are not in accordance with the word of the Most High? Because I know I put you in that body. I gave you desires and thoughts. I didn't give you all those thoughts, but I gave you desires that you should want to be loved, that you should want to procreate, that you should want to do these things. They are a part of that flesh. But I also gave you an order, a structure in what to do it in, which to do it in. I gave you the commandments concerning these things and the statutes concerning these things and how to operate. And you will still be holy in my eyes. You will still be clean. You will still be precious. And a lot of times, we get into these things before we even come to the Most High. Really have a good knowledge of him. But then we don't want to let those things go. We want to let the body and the ways of this world rule us to the detriment of our salvation and to the detriment of our inheritance. To the detriment of our birthright. We give up our birthright or don't ever really be born again to have a birthright because we love this world. Honor your birthright. Esau despising his birthright, he treated his birthright as something cheap. Something he could sell, something he could discard, that it wasn't important. And you hear the Spirit of the Most High telling you, don't neglect your birthright. Don't dishonor me so that I have to disown you. Don't neglect what Messiah paid for with his own life. You are supposed to be born again with a birthright, a royal birthright. All you got to do is repent with a sincere heart and desire it. That's all it takes, is to desire it. Because if you desire it, then you're going to do the things that you have to do. If you understand the importance of it. If we were part of an earthly royal family, and we need to look at this now. The kingdom of Elohim is not like an earthly royal family. It's a royal family, but it's not like the earthly one. So if in an earthly royal family, there is one reigning monarch, the king, who has all the responsibility, the sons and the daughters enjoy privilege, and the daughters of the king, they have privilege and favor. Without the responsibility to rule. kingdom of heaven, it's not like that. In the kingdom of heaven, royal family, we have authority through the name of Messiah. We have a responsibility to exercise his rule and his reign on the earth. Let's go to Psalms 115. The book of Psalms 115. And we're going to get verse 16. Psalms 115 and verse 16. The heaven, even the heavens, are Yah's, but the earth has he given to the children of men. Messiah is establishing a kingdom on the earth, and he's given it to us to reign over it. Evil, unrighteous men through the devil hijacked that long time ago. And when Messiah came, he says, I came to save that which was lost, to restore that which was lost. This is what he was restoring. It started with Israel and the priesthood, but it's to restore our reign on the earth. To conduct the affairs of men. To teach them the statutes, the commandments, the laws, the ordinances, the judgments of the Most High, and to rule with the Most High, the Ruach HaKodesh in us. To be doing. But everybody kind of wait on Messiah to come back. And we want to claim we have no power. We have no power because we don't know our birthright. We don't know what we're entitled to. Go to Matthew chapter 6. The book of Matthew chapter 6. Now let's get verse 10. Part of the prayer. Thy kingdom, the kingdom of the Most High, the kingdom of Messiah, thy kingdom come, thy will be done in the earth as it is in heaven. We are supposed to be doing his will in the earth. As his children. But we don't believe those things. And we won't unite behind that. And we find all manner of reasons to be against one another. And at the same time say we belong to Messiah. See, we became part of the family of the Most High as his children through Messiah. And there's a family business. And that family business is running the world. Go to Luke chapter 2. The book of Luke, chapter 2. And let's get verse 49. Luke, chapter 2, and verse 49. And the word of the Most High reads. And he said unto them, how is it that you were looking for me, that you sought me? Know you not that I must be about my Father's business? If it is Father, then his Father's business is our business. The reconciling of the world. The teaching the men and women of the kingdom. Making citizens in the kingdom of heaven. That's what intimacy looks like to our Elohim. Sons and daughters who will only be with him. Will not only be with him, but rule with him. That's what he wants. I shall give you a throne to sit on like mine. How can you tell if you're exercising your royal birthright? If you are doing the status quo, if you're not disturbing the status quo, then you're not fulfilling your birthright, because we are here to upset this world. We are here to take territory and to make disciples. That's the family business. To be here doing. Becoming like Mashiach. Willing to suffer with him for the word of Elohim, for the testimony of Yeshua. Teaching mankind the statutes, the law, the commandments, the ordinances, the judgments of the Most High. Showing them and being an example to them. Setting up the kingdom on the earth. Living righteous lives. Acceptable and holy unto the Most High. Despising not our birthright. If you are still struggling with something in this world, whether it is drugs, whether it is wealth, whether it is whatever it is, you're struggling with it because you value it more than your birthright. I'm going to put it like that. Because if you value your birthright above all things else, if you understand the importance of it, the significance of it, then those other things become really non-existent. Don't mean that you won't have a sex life. Don't mean that you won't have wealth or anything like that, but it's not number one in your life. If it's going to cause you to lose your birthright, you know that, hey, that's got to go. Or this is going to have to come another way, because if I do it this way, if I just go lay with this person, I have despised the commandments of the Most High. And now I'm in conflict with him. And you don't just say conflict, you have made yourself his enemy. So we don't read those scriptures that way, but that's what he says. We become his adversary. Your adversary is not your friend. Your adversary is not your loved one. Your adversary is your enemy. And they are fighting against you. And the Most High says, when we do that, when we disobey him willfully, we become his adversary. We despise our birthright we're acting like disobedient children, and the Most High says, I don't do disobedient children who are willfully disobedient. I don't put you in timeout. It's not a timeout offense. That is a death offense. Let me get a verse and let's wrap this up. Give me a hot second here. Corinthians. Chapter 3. And understand that this is what the Most High wanted from the very beginning, starting with Adam and Eve. Then he wanted to do it in Israel. In the end, he's going to offer this to all mankind. But the way you get this is through obedience to him and having a sincere heart to him. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, skip verses 16 and 17. Know you not that you are the temple of Elohim, and that the spirit of Elohim dwells in you? You got to first know that you are the temple of Elohim. If you have received the Ruach HaKodesh, then you are the temple of Elohim. You are his dwelling place, where he always wanted to dwell, in his children. If any man, verse 17, if any man defiles the temple of Elohim, him shall Elohim destroy. For the temple of Elohim is holy, which temple you are. If you are a child of the Most High, if you have received the Ruach HaKodesh, been baptized in the name of Yeshua HaMashiach or Jesus the Christ, then you are a son, you are a child of Elohim. You have been born again. You're not waiting to be born again. If you have experienced that, then you are born again. You are a child of Elohim. You are the temple of Elohim if the Ruach HaKodesh dwells within you. And if you defile the temple of Elohim through fornication, through adultery, through unclean acts, through willful sin, let me just sum that up with willful sin. And Elohim says he will destroy you. Why? You're holy. We gotta always remember that. And to do any unholy thing means we despise our birthright. Means we tell the Most High, I don't mean nothing. What good is it going to profit me now? They ain't putting no food in my mouth. We got that spirit of Esau. Despise our birthright. Despise who and what we are. And the Most High says, you I'm going to destroy. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Point. And he asked this question in such a way, like it's out of shock, it's out of horror. What? Know you not that your body is the temple of the Ruach HaKodesh, the Holy Spirit, the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which you have of Elohim, and you are not your own? Don't you know that? For you are bought with a price. Therefore, glorify Elohim in your body and in your spirit, which are Elohim. Don't despise your birthright. Don't profane it. Don't treat it like Esau. Esau repented. Get that verse. Go to Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12. And let's get verse, and we'll wrap it up here. Hebrews chapter 12, verses 16 and 17. Lest there be any fornicator or profane person as Esau, who for one morsel of meat sold his birthright. So you know how that afterward, after he sold it, when he would have inherited the blessing, he was rejected. Does this sound familiar? For he found no place of repentance. Not that he didn't repent. This is saying the Most High didn't accept his repentance. For he found no place of repentance. So he sought it carefully. How? With tears. What he had done. Got on his knees. Got into his secret place. Went before the Most High. Please, I realized what I did. I despised. I didn't care about it. I didn't know. I didn't appreciate it. Boo-hooing and snotting. And was rejected. Let's not put ourselves in that position. And let us pray. That if the Most High, if we have done this, that the Most High will accept our repentance. If we have despised our birthright, if we have treated it as an unholy thing. About what we do when we spit on what Messiah did. When we spit on that work and go back into willful sin. Says that we treated what he did as an unholy thing. We despise it. Cared nothing about it. Didn't appreciate it. Thought it was something that, you know, we could pull out and use whenever we got to feeling guilty. The Most High says, I'm not accepting your apology. You despise what I did to you. And the only thing really, if we are guilty of that, that we can do is say, from this point on, I won't do it anymore, and I will serve you with everything that you say, my whole heart. And if you still say no, then you are Yah. And you have, you are sovereign, and you have the right to reject me. So could you have the spirit of Esau? I'm thinking, just through my own experience, about 95% of Christendom, 95% of the Hebrew camp, have the spirit of Esau, the people themselves. They've been born by the spirit of Esau through the doctrine that they are learning and taking into their hearts. And walking according to the traditions and the doctrine of men causes them to despise their birthright, holding themselves accountable. I pray when we hear this that we can repent. If it is us, that we can repent with godly sorrow. Yah, I have offended thee. I have sinned unto heaven, and I have despised my birthright. And I didn't know how serious it was. So either you have the spirit of Jacob, and you want this, and you will do whatever it takes to get it, or you have the spirit of Esau. May Yah bless you. May he keep you safe from all hurt and harm, seen and unseen. And until we meet again, remember, I love you. I really do. I cannot love you like the Most High loves you. Despise not your birthright, and fear Yah. Obey his voice and keep his commandments, as faithful Abraham did, as our King Yeshua HaMashiach did. So must we do. Shalom and enjoy it. No, let me play a song. We got a time. Let me play a song. I pray you're seeing Yah. More so, I pray for the spirit of Yah for you.
Thank you.
Can't do it without you. Shalom, saints, and enjoy the rest of your day. Happy Sabbath to you all. Peace and blessings. And see you on this evening, God willing.